This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday as we welcome you in to Follow the Money live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for the guys through next Wednesday as they get some post-Super Bowl time off. Happy to be with you. How are you today? Any more people that you gave bad directions to? How's it going?
Okay, that's not fair. You should also tell people what you're talking about here. So this is in reference to yesterday. I was out and about, and a young woman approached me and asked for directions to a certain street. And I gave her those directions, but I was looking at my map incorrectly and sent her in the complete opposite direction. It may have been at night. It may have been a young 16-year-old who was very panicked. And so we do still wonder what the fate of that young girl
is. I hope she's okay out there.
I hope she made it out alive. I assume she got where she needed to go.
That said, we are off to a roaring start with a lot of things in action already today, which kind of leads us to our guest list as well. We've got plenty of college basketball coming up. Tim Murray is going to join us. Soccer betting analyst Steve Wiss as well. And Christopher Powers of Golf Digest talk through everything going on out there at Pebble Beach as we are well underway. Rio Hisatsune in the lead right now at 8-under through 16. Jake Knapp and Sam Burns tied at 6-under. Your boy Tommy Fleetwood up there high on the leaderboard at 5-under right now as well.
Yeah, he is. And I would say the common thread between our three guys here at the top, if you look at some of the advanced metrics for the tournament, is the fact that all three of them are killing it when it comes to putting. Hisatsune right now is over four strokes gained putting. Both, if you look at Burns and Knapp at this point right now, well over about 3.38 and then 3.9 respectively. So some hot putters early on. I don't think that's a shock that a hot putter in a first round would be able to get you there. The question is, can you actually continue? You know, you look at a guy like Burns, for example, plus 3.4 will round up strokes gained putting, and yet his strokes gained approach, Storm, he's actually lost about a half a stroke in terms of his approach game. So, in other words, you're kind of saving your bacon when you get to the green. We'll see if that can continue. Generally, this would look like something that you're probably not going to be able to maintain it. So I would expect that maybe these three names might not be the three names that we see, shockingly enough, by the time we get to Sunday.
Yeah, Chris Goddard up as well, who we talked about a lot this week already with two wins under his belt. He had birdies on the first six holes of the day, bogey on eight, so slowed down a bit, but still having a really nice start for him. My guy, so I bet top 10s and top 20s on Russell Henley. He's at 4-under through 14 right now. Victor Hovland, I had a top 20 on him as well. He's at even par, obviously a long tournament to go. I didn't bet any first round stuff, but we're going to keep tabs on this throughout the course of the day as we go. And again, excited to get some thoughts, big picture with Christopher Powers on kind of how to approach this thing in game tournament angles and all of that. We also have plenty of Olympic men's hockey in action right now. Both of the games that are currently in progress are tied at one at the first intermission. And for anyone who's been keeping tabs on this USA-Latvia game, it's been a little bit chaotic, and Team USA was a minus 2,400, prohibitive favorite in this one to be tied at one after one with two goals that they had this loud taken off the board, JVT.
So they had two goals taken off.
Correct.
Because I thought I saw them up 2-0. I thought I saw another one as well. So that does make some sense. There's not the massive shot discrepancy that we have seen in the first game that we were watching yesterday. At what point, what was it, like 29-6?
A lot to a little.
Yeah, it was a lot to a little. So you don't see that here, but they've had the opportunities. Is there a buy point on Team USA? There's no way it's going to be a price in which you can actually find it palatable.
Let me see where we're at right now. Laying 2.5 is minus 210.
Minus 210? I'm looking at minus 175.
Okay, yeah, so that actually might be a little bit worthwhile. Things that I'm seeing online, like Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, some others, have been talking about the Latvia video coach and just how outstanding he is, and obviously been in the video room and being able to identify what you needed to challenge those goals. Brady Tkachuk got the Americans on the board first, so cash that plus 160 anytime goal for anyone who had that in pocket. And then if you had Quinn Hughes or JT Miller, though, I am sorry that both of those were taken off, one for offside, and then I didn't see what the second one was as we're kind of in a fishbowl here in the studio
that.
At times. You wouldn't?
No.
What would you call it?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm trying to give you crap. I'm also trying to do this. By the way.
All that to say, though, Team USA was laying 3.5 at a minus 155 price on the puck line to open this thing out. So to now be at a cheaper price on a 2.5, I do think is interesting. The total goals in this bad boy was 6. I mean, I was looking at just some of the alternate ways to play on this and trying to figure out how you could bet Team USA. Even their pre-flop team total over 4.5 was more than $2.
I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm in. -2.5, -175. So let's go Team USA. I hope you're right.
Meanwhile, Germany and Denmark, again, we are tied at one there as well. Leon Draisaitl, a familiar name for those of you at home. He scored 23 seconds into the game, but that was all. And I am not even going to try to pronounce the German's name in this one. But Germany, -258 money line favorite earlier in the day, bet out to him out about -280. So it is the thought, at least in the market, that they're going to get this one done. The puck line, -1.5, that was played out a little bit as well. Full game total, 5.5, and that is where it sits live as well. Other results from this morning, Canada bet out pretty heavily, and that was the right side from -485 to -575 against Czechia. And this was, I'm already starting the day with a loser, JVT, because you heard me yesterday say a couple of times, I took 2.5 goals with the Czech Republic, thinking that just what they had in net and defensively, I thought Dostal would be able to stand up a little bit taller. He did not. John Cooper ended up going with Jordan Binnington, who had an outstanding day. And you, me, Mike Palm, we were talking a lot about this on the program yesterday. What ultimately was that decision going to be in net for Team Canada? They go with Binnington, and he exceeds all expectations, pitched a shutout, 5-0 win there. Canada scored with about, so it was a really good start for Czechia. Canada ends up scoring with about 5 seconds left on a, like, Cale Makar shoots it in, deflection from Macklin Celebrini, to give them a goal right before intermission, which I think was just a little bit deflating when you played such a strong period, especially defensively. And then pretty early on in the second period, Mitch Marner, Mark Stone hook up, and it just kind of felt like it was off for the running from there.
So Paul checked in. Pauly, 1968, not the Pauly that you all know and love. First love watching you both, whatever. Let's see. Combo with Mike Palm and the doubt about Binnington based on NHL performance is baseless. Canadians have waited long for this. No doubt they raised their game. Ain't St. Louis.
Baseless?
Baseless.
I appreciate the comment. Thank you for watching and listening. I would not say that current form and the save percentage that he had and the performance that he had would then say me thinking that he would struggle here is baseless just because Team Canada and the country is excited.
Paul, by the way, I don't mean to like gloss over the very nice compliment at the beginning.
Yeah, that was very, very nice. And I
didn't mean to just say
it.
Whatever. I
get that the forward group in front of you is not the same as the one that you have on the St. Louis Blues, but that doesn't change the fact of the matter.
I mean, sometimes playing for the pride of your country will make a man and or woman perform at a higher level than they are known to.
Sure. But like I said, I wouldn't say baseless.
Sounds non-patriotic to me.
I would say you could actually put the argument of like, mentality and excitement and pride of country as a more baseless thought than you could actual performance, no?
Sure.
Just my two cents. Connor McDavid, 3 assists in the win. Sidney Crosby, 2. I mean, they're just going to be such a tough out throughout the course of the Olympics. Yeah. They're so good. They're so fast. They're so skilled.
I mean, I thought Mike had a great point, too, when you talked about the futures as well. Just wait until the championship, and then you can bet in there. And we were talking about Team USA and winning that first game.
Yeah,
on the women's side, too. You could take maybe the same approach. We'll see what's going to go on here. But very, come on, let's get this going. We got some money on this now, and we need this intermission. I thought the intermissions were supposed to be shorter.
They are shorter. It just started a few minutes. Like, we'll be fine. We'll be back up and running here in a moment. Switzerland up next tomorrow for Team Canada. Big favorite once again there, -575, laying 2.5 on the puck line, and that's juiced to -125. France and Switzerland also earlier today. Switzerland won that in a shutout 4-0, and I didn't even realize yesterday, I came up to you in the parking lot after the show, and I was like tapping on your car window.
You were.
Because I wasn't even paying attention watching the Swedish
game. Thought my time was over.
Game. Shut up. Come on now. What Rasmus Dahlin did yesterday. Got 3 assists day from the Swede.
Yeah, so what do you have?
Over 4.5 points.
Okay,
the fact that he had 3 against Italy is a great start for that. So we're officially already, I would say, in bad beat territory if that one doesn't come home with as many games as they could still potentially play.
How many games?
They get 4 in group play.
At the very least, right? Okay, you're good.
You get 4 in group
play.
Devil.
You get 4 in group play, and then everybody moves on, do they not?
Yes,
so you're guaranteed another one. So
yeah, that's why I'm saying it's bad that we're in bad beat territory.
Or you're off to a great start.
He very clearly looked like the best player on the ice.
No, you don't have to be so pessimistic.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Just like you are with you not wanting me to talk about one certain thing with you right now.
What is that?
How well you're playing.
No, stop. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Also on the women's side, Canada had a makeup game with Finland. They had it postponed because of like a flu bug thing early on in the tournament. They smashed the Finns in what was that bounce back game after the tough loss to the U.S. 5-0 win there. Total stays under 5.5. Marie-Philippe Poulin did not play again, dealing with that lower body injury. She skated this morning, though. So hopeful as that wraps up the prelims that she'll be available potentially against Germany coming up in the quarters. Also, Team USA's odds against Italy. I was looking at this at Circa.
Okay.
They are... I think I have to bet this on principle alone. You tell me what you think. Team USA is laying 6.5 goals.
Okay. So what are you saying, like, you delay it?
No, God. I'm like, do you just not have to take 6.5 goals in an Olympic hockey game?
I mean, I don't know about the qualifier of in an Olympic hockey game. Like, I just have this ripe history of Olympic hockey in my brain. But, I mean, I would say that we watched the Italians give up a ton of shots on goal yesterday.
This is on the women's side.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. All right. Well, then, I don't know, man. Team USA looked pretty dominant for the women as well. Like, that was a rear-end kicking.
Well, and they've been dominant against everybody. They, in their four wins, are outscoring teams 20-1, I think. Yeah. They've, like, every win has been 5-0 or 5-1.
Okay. But I mean, you're the one, look, you're the hockey brain. You're clearly very fired up about all this.
I don't know anything about Italian women's hockey. I'm just going to put that out there. However,
dozens of them.
On principle alone, a 6.5 goal puck line. I'm intrigued with the dog, especially with some of the results in close games that we've seen so far this Olympics.
I'm going to lay it.
You just want to be at odds just to be that guy.
What time is that game?
I don't know. I have to look it up.
Look, tomorrow, 12:10. We'll be on the air for it. All right. Make your decision. I'm looking at minus 7.
Minus,
at a couple of spots.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it was Circa this morning.
With the total of 7.5.
I was looking at, exactly, the total of 7.5 at Circa this morning. But I'll take 7.
I mean, if you're going to, we'll have to talk about this. This is tomorrow at 12 o'clock. We'll have time to discuss.
Another result in the books. How about them Hornets, ladies and gentlemen, on Money Moves? The two of us, also Kelly Bidlin on a numbers game, we have been tracking the win-o-meter for the Charlotte Hornets. And if you took over 25.5 season wins, you cashed it last night. We're going to talk about that and a lot of NBA action next on Follow the Money.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
America, thanks you, Brock Nelson. Team USA up 2-1 now. It'll be Olympic hockey match against Latvia. This one counts, JVT. This one's sticking.
That's right. So we need this to happen here. They've had, two goals get called off. We've had crossbar twice, I believe, was the measure as well. We're laying 2.5. Got to get this thing done.
Beautiful.
If not for the pride of the country, at least of a young man who is the son of immigrants two generations down the road who came here with a belief and a dream that they could find something better.
What?
It's America, dude. Come on.
Speaking of the pride of our country, how about the pride of our network? Tim Murray joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Welcome in, buddy. Host of VSiN Primetime Weeknight, 7 p.m. Eastern. VSiN Weekend
Tim?
Morning Line. We have to transition somehow. You're rooting Team America all day.
Tim understood.
Nobody understands you.
I just wanted to see where he would go with it. And stuck the landing, unlike Chloe Kim on her final run.
Ooh, nice Olympics reference.
Heartbreaking. Have you been dialed in on the Olympics? Anything in particular you've really enjoyed watching?
I told Will Hill the other night that I actually got to cover the Olympics 8 years ago in Korea. So it's pretty cool to just to keep an eye on all these different events that we have no idea how to handicap them or just know the rules. But I've been watching a lot of curling. Certainly the hockey has been spectacular. Our women have been whooping up on everybody, which has been awesome to see. And the luge, I don't know if you guys saw this today, but there was the luge relay. It was unbelievable. It was like one of the craziest things ever. So it's nice to wake up and have live sports on the television.
All right, well, let's talk about some live sports, maybe coming up a little bit later. There is a robust and thick, girthy card today in college basketball. I don't have any more adjectives for it. And we're going to go to 807-808, because that Matt Eumanns, he loves those rotation numbers, so, Tim.
That's the Eumanns.
Yep. South Dakota State, Denver, what do you got? This open pick, total 159. We're at South Dakota State. Jackrabbits are a...
The 1.5 point
favorite. Oh, is that? No, it's South Dakota? Oh, I messed it up. Either way, South Dakota State minus 1.5 with a total of 158.5.
I believe this is the real SDSU, right?
Yes.
Whoa, shots fired.
Yeah, it is the Jackrabbits.
That is funny.
Just for Stormy.
Real quickly, that is funny that you mentioned that. I can't tell you how many times on like on ESPN or on any of these networks where they throw up SDSU and then it's accidentally the other logo one way or the other. All the time.
Never happened to this network, though.
Well, we've got it right. Look at that. That's beautiful. The Jack Bunnies, as the boys from the three-man weave would call them, South Dakota State at Denver. Now, it is worth noting, I bet you a lot of people are going to say, well, he's just going to go over, isn't he? 19-3-1 Denver games have gone over this year. I don't really play a ton of totals, so I'm going to stick to a side here. And when I could get a home dog, I will do so. So Denver Pioneers have been playing a little bit better as of late. You look at some of their numbers at home. They shoot 42% from three at home. They've had success against South Dakota State at home the last two seasons, and it's a revenge game. So am I in love with this play? No, but we got to have a bet on the board tonight that I'll be sweating out later on VSiN primetime. But if you look at Bart Torvik over the last month of the season, Denver has been slightly better, 208. South Dakota State, 238. He got a little bit of bump for home court. So catching 1.5 here. I know the market just ticked up a moment ago in favor of the Jackrabbits, but I will go against the market move and take a little Summit League action tonight. Give me Denver as a slight home dog against South Dakota State.
VSiN's Tim Murray joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. One play, albeit not a game today, but one that you do like probably a little bit more in the futures market. You added the Florida Gators to the portfolio. Why?
I did, yeah. And look, this is a team that I feel like I've been saying every night on primetime or the VSiN weekend morning line. Hey, this Florida team, man, they're playing really good ball right now. And I hadn't added them to the card until last night. A dominant performance against Georgia. You know, speaking of home dogs, I was glad I stayed off of Georgia last night, because that was around 8.5, and Florida went in there and took it to them, won it by 20. Look, the size for Florida is incredible. We saw it, you know, on the forefront last year on their run to the national championship. And look, we've talked about it quite a bit. I recorded the best moments in VSiN history, or best betting moments of last year, and Mitch's glorious run to that national championship ticket. They were very fortunate, and Walter Clayton not on the roster anymore, and he was spectacular a year ago for Florida. But the more I look at this front line and the way they've been playing as of lately, I felt at 17-1, which was the number at DraftKings last night, you know, around 15-16-1 still out there. I just thought, when I look at the best teams in the country, are they in the same ballpark as your Arizonas, as your, you know, Houston's, as your Dukes? I think so. And I think getting them at around 16-17-1 for me was worth a shot. So we'll see, but love the size that they have. I do think, you know, against a team like Arizona, as we saw to start the season in Vegas, I think they're able to match up from a size standpoint against Arizona. And the question's going to be the guard play. They do not shoot the ball particularly well, which is always nerve-wracking when it comes to backing a team for a national championship run. But we know that they've got the coaching pedigree to make a deep run, and I think they're playing their best ball as of lately. So I was going to be upset with myself if I didn't have a little bit of exposure to Florida. So I went ahead and grabbed a small piece last night at 17-1 for them to win the title.
Just had to bring up the Mitch ticket, huh? I mean, like, that had to be part of the analysis. I mean, it's fine. It's fine. It's not like that's a wound that gets ripped
open. You
had
a small piece. Come on now.
Could have had a bigger piece if he doesn't text me at halftime telling me congratulations and completely ruining everything. That totally is the reason why that happened, and not the play on the court. All right, let's talk. Let me ask you this.
Earlier, that kind of thing didn't matter. It's so interesting.
It mattered in that Wild. Moment. It mattered in that moment. All right, Tim, let me ask you this then. As we look at this big picture, I guess, how far out would you be willing to go? We talked to this about this with Mike Palm the other day.
Yep.
He only had four teams that can win a national championship. How far down the board, how far out are you willing to go? Is this top heavy, or do you think there's actually a few more teams that could actually make runs here?
I think it's a little bit more teams out there than what Mike would mention. So I think the obvious Arizona, Michigan, Duke, and Houston, you know, they're in one bucket. I think Illinois. I know offensively or defensively, I beg your pardon, they have some concerns. But when you look at Boswell likely returning here and the way that Keaton Wagler has stepped up and performed, I certainly think Illinois is capable of winning a title. I think UConn is capable of winning a title. I think Kansas. Now, there's a big caveat there with Darren Peterson and, you know, whether or not he's going to be available for all of these games. But you have to put him in there because of what we saw on Monday night, even without Darren Peterson. You could say, oh, it's the, you know, the fallen star theory, the Patrick Ewing theory, whatever you want to say without Peterson on the floor. But to be able to beat Arizona tells you something about the abilities of Kansas. I bet Florida to win the title. I think they're capable of winning it all. Purdue, you know, Purdue is kind of on the fringe for me. I don't know where you guys are on this Purdue team. You know, we saw them two nights ago got out big in their game against Nebraska, let that lead slip away, and then ultimately they were able to win it in overtime. But I think Purdue, with the veteran guards, with the size, I still would have to throw them on their ability to win a title. I also throw in Texas Tech. You know, when you have a elite guard like Christian Anderson, when you have JT Toppin, Grant McCaslin, you know you're going to get solid defense from a team that was really there a year ago, if not faltering against Florida. So I think for me, I would say I'm about 9 or 10 deep on teams that could win it all. You know, I know some people think that St. John's, what we saw from them last Friday night, mm-hmm. the defense that they threw out there against UConn, they shoot better than last year's team. Maybe St. John's at, you know, around 70-1 is worth a shot. I wouldn't be opposed to taking a 70-1 shot because if they get a good draw and they make it into the Final Four, then you're in a great opportunity to hedge off of that. But for me right now, I think I'm about 9 or 10 deep. I think Iowa State, I'm leaving them off right now. You know, not just because they lost to TCU on Tuesday night. There's just something that seems to be a bit miss right now on Iowa State. But as we're looking at the odds board on the graphic, you know, I look at the left column. I think I would take all of those teams to have a chance to win the title, and I would add Texas Tech and Purdue to the list. So about 10 deep for me right now.
Yeah, Texas Tech was actually a team I was going to ask you about. Obviously, like, dominant yesterday against Colorado, but they're a team I wondered if you thought they had the build. Tim, awesome spot as always. We so appreciate your time. Thanks for this.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
See you, buddy.
And by the way, Tim, in addition to hosting VSiN Primetime and the VSiN Morning Line, also host of the College Football Betting Podcast here at VSiN. And they dropped a new episode yesterday with some early off-season takeaways for college football. He has Brett Powers on, diving into a bunch of those different things. So it's never too early to be looking at some college football stuff as well.
No, it is not. So make sure you check it out. Like, rate, review, and subscribe, along with Pod to the Futures and Money Moves.
And you scared me for a moment, making me think that we might have had another goal. We do not, but we do have a Team USA power play.
Yes. That's a good thing. That's why you get a fist bump. Yeah. You got an extra man on the
ice. Yeah, but I'm over here thinking that maybe something really, really good happened, which could here. Again, our boy JVT sweating out the laying 2.5 goals at pretty hefty juice. You put a pretty penny on it, too. So I am rooting for you. We'll see how that plays out.
One would
ultimately
argue the prettiest of pennies.
The prettiest of pennies. We talked about a couple of results there, yes, with Tim in passing. When we come back, we will hit on a handful of those college basketball results from yesterday, the NBA, Olympics as well. Win some, lose some. After this, follow the money live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Back here on Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 158. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel in for the guys right now. And I saw a tweet come across as I was scrolling a moment ago that said, imagine thinking Scottie Scheffler is the best golfer in the world when Ryo Hisatsune exists. Minus, he's shooting a 10 under, career low round to lead round one at Pebble Beach. To help us talk over everything that's been going on out there in California, Christopher Powers joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line, senior writer at Golf Digest, co-host of The Loop podcast. You can also follow him on X at CPowers14. 100 to 20, 125 to 1 shot in the outright markets live where things sit right now. Plus 1275, so hell of a first round for Ryo.
Absurd price pre-tournament, as you mentioned, for a guy who tied for second in California just a few weeks ago at Torrey Pines, the Farmers Insurance Open. And then he was in one of the final groups on the weekend last week in Arizona, TPC Scottsdale, kind of faded a little bit, still managed to tie for 10th. This is his third season on the PGA Tour, only 23 years old. All the makings of the next Japanese superstar in the vein of his childhood hero, Hideki Matsuyama.
So I'm curious, as you look at some of the data that comes in from the first round, from an in-tournament standpoint, Chris, what are you looking at? Because I brought up with Hisatsune that his putter has been great. I mean, we're talking about over 5 strokes gained putting today. While he's losing some strokes in different areas like approach, is that a recipe for some regression? Are we looking in some way to play against him as this moves along, or can you sustain this over the course of a tournament?
Very difficult to sustain, obviously, 22 putts today. He just mentioned in his post-round interview how he played early in the morning. Greens were super fresh. Not going to be the case the rest of the week, especially if he's playing in one of the final groups on the weekend. Those POA greens at Pebble Beach, those only get worse as the day goes on with the foot traffic. They're already a little bit bumpy, the grass type. So he'll get to play Spyglass Hill tomorrow. But on the weekend, if he's in one of those final groups, he's playing in the afternoon and a bunch of guys are stomping around on the greens all day, those are going to be much, much tougher to putt on. And we've got some weather coming this weekend at Pebble Beach as well.
So how does that impact your handicap, I guess, moving forward with the weather potentially coming in? Does that then change the group or batch of players that you want to buy in on moving forward?
I would certainly look at, you know, this is probably a good week, Saturday and Sunday morning, to just sort of monitor. If you see a guy with a kind of a crazy misprice next to his name, because he's quite far back, but if he's going out early in the morning at Pebble when the weather hasn't rolled in yet and the wind's a little bit down, maybe you can make up a ton of ground. There'll be some volatility if the rain and the wind that's predicted to come actually does come. It'll be much tougher for the guys in the afternoon, as I mentioned, not only with the weather, but on the green. So you might be able to catch a huge number on a guy going out early in the morning who can shoot a low number and make up a ton of ground.
All right, so we talked about putting. What are some of the other statistics that somebody jumping in tournament-wise would want to look at after the first round that would make you either play on or against a dude for a matchup or otherwise?
For sure, approach, obviously, short wedges. Your wedge game is huge here at Pebble Beach. I know Russell Henley is already off to a great start. I would imagine that's because of his irons. So I would look at the approach play, any guys who spiked today and maybe didn't get everything they wanted out of it because of maybe a bad putting round. I would look towards those numbers to see if you can, again, catch a decent number on a guy live.
Sam Burns threw his round a shot back at 9 under. Chris Goddard up at 7 under through 15 right now. He's already got 2 wins under his belt, was 30-1 pre-tournament. He's now the live favorite at 10-1. Is this something we should have expected right out the gate, considering how hot he's been to start the year?
Yeah, I mean, based off the way he's playing, yes, but Pebble Beach, you know, he kind of hits the ball very far, not great with his shorter clubs, so this isn't really the best course fit for him, but you can throw course fit out when you're playing the way this guy is playing right now. And I mean, he started off with 6 birdies to start his round. He's just scorching hot. He's hitting the ball great. Everything's going in with the putter, so I guess it was kind of to be expected, even though the course fit isn't great for Chris Goddard.
How do you do in tournament betting personally? Do you bet a lot while the tournament starts, or do you just sit back with your pre-flop stuff? How do you handle it?
Usually when my outright bets are off to a rough start, I out of necessity have to sort of look to get back in on the action. And I did last week on Michael Thorbjornsson, who obviously, if you saw how that tournament finished, that was a brutal ending. Found him 80-1 Saturday morning. I'll probably be doing the same this week, although I do have 2 decent horses in the fight right now. Akshay Bhatia is off to a good start. He's on 18 right now at Pebble Beach. And then Maverick McNealy, who obviously is always a hot name here because he grew up playing here, loves the golf course. His father had a house on the 16th hole. He's off to a good start at 5 under. So I like where I'm at right now, but it never hurts again to add one more name on maybe Saturday or Sunday morning.
What do you make of the start from Scottie Scheffler, second tournament in a row where round one has not gone his way?
Yeah, I mean, I would not bet against him being in one of the last two groups on Sunday. That's just how good he is. You know, he got off to a bad start for him last week. He shot 2 over. He ends up 1 shot out of a playoff, and he really didn't do anything that crazy. He sort of just plodded along. I would expect the exact same thing this week. I would be stunned if he's not, you know, within 2 or 3 shots heading into Sunday's final round. I went back and looked. In his last 40 events, he has finished in the top three 22 times. I know you guys like your math out there in Vegas. That is better than 50% in his last 40 events where he's finished among the top three. It's basically impossible what he's doing, and I would expect more of the same the rest of this week.
JVT, plus 146 for a top 10 for Scheffler, plus 325 for a top five.
Yep. The guy that I was looking at to potentially come back in on, Rory McIlroy, if you look at his profile for today, it actually wasn't really that bad. It was a putter that let him down. What'd you see from him? Would he be worth adding here if you didn't get in? He's 16-1 now, plus 260, top five, plus 118, top 10.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about that is that Pebble Beach, this was the day to get Pebble Beach. This was the easiest it's going to play all week. Rory played at Spyglass Hill today, obviously. Played well, like you said. Won here a year ago. He's got plenty of firepower, but Pebble's only going to get tougher as the week goes on. I think the guys who got to play Pebble today shot at, you know, 5 under, 6 under, a decent score. They have a massive leg up on the guys who are, you know, 2, 3, 4 under and still have to play Pebble when the weather rolls in this weekend.
Christopher Powers of Golf Digest joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Looking even farther out on the calendar, I know JVT already has a Masters bet in pocket. How much do you look ahead to some of those major tournaments, the Masters? Do you start adding to the portfolio as the year goes on? What's your approach to some of those markets?
Yeah, I should. I wish I did. You know, Justin Rose is a perfect example, and I kind of just, you know, I don't act quickly enough like some much sharper people than me in our industry here. So, you know, I don't have any futures yet on the Masters. I'm such a Bryson DeChambeau guy at the Masters these last few years, like single bullet, because I really think he's started to figure out that golf course. Obviously, he's broken my heart over the last 2 years, although he has come close. So I'm kind of like tunnel vision on Bryson DeChambeau still. I think he's 12-1 right now. That could go down if he wins a live event soon. So maybe I should act on that now, but haven't been good enough about that yet.
Well, I mean, how much do these prices change? I mean, obviously it depends on, because they get, Stormy mentioned, I have a bet. It's on Goddard because he's just been playing well and he's doing it again today. So maybe this will be longer than the 40-1 that I have, but how much do these markets really change from now into the Masters when you're talking about betting them so early out?
It's really based off if a guy wins or not. You know, you might still be able to get a good price on a guy who just has a couple top tens this year and they haven't really overcorrected yet. There's such a massive overcorrection when a guy does win that he almost becomes a little bit unattractive. That's still a pretty good number on Goddard. Like I mentioned before, he hits the driver so well, plays that nice fade, should set up okay for Augusta. He has never played there, so that would scare me a little, but I understand jumping in on him as early as you can. But yeah, it's usually the guys who win, like Justin Rose. I think he was 100-1 or higher at every major. He wins at Torrey Pines and now he's, you know, down to 40-30-1, which is crazy for a 45-year-old who I know he's played really well in the majors and he stays in good shape and you know, his game travels anywhere, but it's very hard to win one of those, as he's shown over the last few years. So it's the overcorrection on guys who win. But if you can still find a guy who hasn't won yet, that's probably the move.
Chris, appreciate the breakdown. Thank you so much for this.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Christopher Powers, follow him on X at CPowers14. All the work over at Golf Digest, also the Loop podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. 3.3 seconds left in the period for Team USA.
Just end it.
5-1. Let's get it.
Good job.
Good job.
I feel like I can relax now. Very good job. I feel like I've been a little wound up today. I apologize if I've lashed out at anybody, but good job.
Mostly been me, so it's okay. That's you know, right. I'm used to it.
I'm pretty nice to our crew. They deserve it.
No, you are. You're much nicer to them.
Let's go, buddy. All right.
Got it in. 5-1. They cover the pre-flop 3.5. JVT's in game 2.5.
I'm going to add Rory McIlroy to win this weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah, got a little extra cash.
Did you bet anything pre-tournament? Did you end up putting anything in on? Of course you didn't, because you have a problem. That was the worst New Year's resolution you ever could have made.
You know what the worst part is? It lasted one tournament, actually won a couple of bets, and then I was just like out.
Unreal. Okay, you hear the music. We got to take a timeout. When we come back, Do You Concur is on deck. Don't go anywhere. Football season might be over, but the real football just heating up as we welcome you back here at Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel. Excited to have Steve Wiss join us here on the Progressive Guest Line, soccer betting analyst, host of Nordic Football Podcast, Betting Weekly Live as well by Bet Rivers. You can follow him on X at MeatManSoccer. And actually, let me just start there real quickly, Steve, because this is my first time getting to chat with you. Forgive me if this is a stupid question, but where does the Meat Man moniker come from? JVT said, I need to say it with my chest. The Meat Man is with us. Let's go.
Hello, Stormy. It's lovely to be with you and JVT today. I think Mitch and Paulie might have asked me this before. It's a simple one. I used to work in a butcher shop a long time ago. So that's where it originated from,
and it's
really.
Stuck.
I do like a good steak. I do like a good steak.
What's the best way to cook a steak? What's the go-to preparation?
Rare. Oh, yeah, I think you need peppercorn sauce on there, a little bit of seasoning as well, and it's got to be rare for me.
I'm a rare person as well. What about you?
Medium rare.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm in that vein. All right, Steve, before we get to the serious bets, I'm curious to get your perspective as somebody who's a lot closer to this. Is the United Strand guy as big a deal out there as it is for me? I've been following this thing for like over a year, and I do see the negativity seeping in now, but like, is it actually a big deal?
Yeah, I mean, this guy's getting a lot of publicity. He's not going to cut his hair until Man United win 5 consecutive games. And do you know what? I actually think deep down, he'll be quite pleased they didn't win a few nights ago, because he stays in the storyline, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He stays relevant. And I don't think they're going to win 5 straight games until next season, to be honest. I think he's in for at least another 6 to 8 months' wait.
Oh, it's been October of 2024, the last time he cut it. And we were trying to figure out, I wonder what he does like day to day for a living, that he's like, that the hair is, it's just, that you can show up to work and everything's good. I love it. Let's get to some of the plays though, coming up this weekend with the England FA Cup Saturday, Southampton, Leicester City for the second time this week. What was your angle?
Well, it's got to be goals. I mean, these two teams have just met only a few days ago, and Southampton actually won the match 4-3. They were 3-0 down and won 4-3. So we've got to go for the goals again. The other league meeting this season ended 3-0 to Southampton. And I think Southampton, there's a good chance they'll cover this goal line all by themselves. Over 2.5 goals at minus 140. Leicester City are an absolute mess right now. They don't have a head coach at the moment. They're trying to appoint one, but no one seems to want to join them. There was actually a breaking news story that came about an hour ago that if they get relegated this season, they might be bankrupt, might be declared bankrupt. So they're in crisis. I think Southampton moneyline would be a good bet as well, actually, but over 2.5 goals at minus 140. Leicester City have conceded at least one goal in all but one of their last 28 league games. Their defense absolutely stinks.
All right, same thought then. Liverpool and Brighton, the times I've watched Liverpool, I've seen a defense that at times maybe needs to tighten up a little bit. Is that going to be the same thought process here?
Yeah, exactly that, JVT. I mean, I'm looking at over 3.5 goals in this one. It's a higher goal line, but this is the FA Cup. So someone is going to progress at the end of the match here. We might need extra time and penalties, but there's no replays anymore. So I think a lot of these matches are a lot more offensive than they used to be. And whenever Liverpool and Brighton meet, you tend to get a lot of goals. They actually did meet in one of the cup competitions last season. Liverpool won it 3-2. Brighton beat them 3-2 in the league last season. And I think both teams really need to take this seriously and really go for the cup. The Brighton head coach, Fabian Hürzeler, he's the current favourite, next favourite to be fired in the Premier League. So he needs a big result here. Liverpool need a result. I think we're going to get a really, really exciting game. I'm willing to go higher on the goal line here, over 3.5 goals at plus 120. Looks a great value bet.
Soccer betting analyst Steve West joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. How about Aston Villa, Newcastle? What were you looking at?
I like the dog here, Newcastle to qualify. You can get plus 120 on this. I think it's a match that means more to Newcastle United. They won their first domestic major trophy last season, first time in 70 years. And I think they would love to add more silverware to their cabinet. And this is the best chance they've got. They're not going to win the Champions League. They're probably not even going to finish in the top five in the Premier League. So they need to take the FA Cup very, very seriously. And I think Newcastle will qualify overall. Whether they win in 90 minutes, I'm not sure. They might need extra time. They might need penalties. Aston Villa have been vulnerable of late. They look a bit tired. Matches are starting to catch up with them. So I think they're a really live dog here, Newcastle United. To get into the next round, you've got to back them to qualify plus 120. This is not a 90-minute bet. This is just to qualify in the match overall.
All right, let's stay at the English FA. We'll go to Sunday, though. Birmingham in pretty solid form, at least recently here, taking on Leeds. This looks like a fun game. So what are we going to do with this one?
I think we get a big cup shock here. I think Birmingham can knock out Leeds. Birmingham, of course, probably, I don't know how well they're known stateside. Tom Brady owns about 4% of them. And they're quite a big news story. And they love to be sort of in the headlines and make a big song and dance of that sort of thing. So they would love to beat a Premier League team. Leeds are actually my own side. They're the team I support myself. And I just think we are not going to take this match very seriously. The main priority for Leeds United is simply to survive and avoid relegation in the Premier League. So I think we're going to get a weakened team that takes the field for Leeds here. I think they're going to be a few youngsters that play, and players that are not in the first choice starting 11 might be rested. So this is a good chance for Birmingham to cause that shock. Again, I'm going to back them in the to qualify market, which means they could win in extra time. They could win on penalties. I actually think Birmingham might win in 90 minutes, though. Leeds have a bad record here. They've lost 3 of their last 4 visits, all of them by a 1-0 score, actually. And this looks like a good chance. Birmingham, decent championship team. Leeds probably going to be under strength and not focus on this match. So we can get a cup shock here at St. Andrews on the early Sunday kickoff.
All right, let's go to the boot. Italy, we got Inter versus Juventus here. I think we have another total for you as well. So what do we like?
Well, there's all eyes on Milan at the minute, isn't they? The Winter Olympics. And this is the biggest match on the soccer field as well in Italy. Inter Milan against Juventus. I'm backing the goals here, over 2.5 goals. These are the best two teams in Italy, in my opinion. Inter are 8 points clear, and they're going to probably win the league. But I think Juventus are going to give it one last sort of swing here. If they don't win the game, they've got no chance of winning the league championship anymore. And their defence has let them down too often recently, Juventus. But they're scoring a lot of goals. I've got some stats here. I can just find them very, very quickly. Juventus have scored 17 goals in the last 6 games. Inter Milan are scoring a lot of goals as well. The reverse fixture ended 4-3. And last season, this meeting ended 4-4. So there's a massive history of goals. Both teams are just going to go for it offensively. For those after a player prop, you could do worse than look at one of the US national team players, actually. Weston McKennie, he's been in great form recently, scored in 5 of his last 9 games. He's 8-1 to score any time. This guy's in great form, and he's going to be a massive player for the US at the World Cup in the summer, actually. Weston McKennie for Juventus. But over 2.5 goals looks a really good bet here. -105. Probably my best bet of the whole weekend, actually, this one.
All right,
okay.
I like it.
Over 2.5, -105. Meanwhile, I'm sensing a little bit of a theme here. We have another game that you are thinking we can get some goals in the England Championship Monday, Coventry and Middlesbrough.
Yeah, this is the top two teams in the Championship League, which is the one just below the Premier League. And I know -150 might not be for everyone, but I think this is a really, it looks a banker over 2.5 goals. It really does. Coventry were 10 points clear at the top of the table, but they've blown that now. Middlesbrough now will lead them by 2 points. And what's cost Coventry is their defence. They've been conceding far too many goals. 5 of their last 6 matches have ended over 2.5 goals. And they've conceded 12 goals in their last 8 games. So this defence is not reliable. Middlesbrough have won 6 straight matches. They're really confident. And I think both teams, I think Coventry, the only way they get out of this funk is just by getting involved in a shootout and beating them big. The reverse fixture was a 4-2 win for Coventry, so they can take some confidence out of that one. And this is just going to be like a boxing match, a brawl, you know, punch after punch, both teams going for it hard. And usually when that happens, we're going to get the goals. So over 2.5 goals, minus 150. Again, a really good overs play for this weekend.
All right, I'm going to ask a selfish question last 90 seconds before we get you out of here. I first wanted to be a soccer fan, so I said, you know what, I'm going to pick a team. And I picked the Queen's Park Rangers the year that we were up last time. That did not happen, and now they're in the middle of the table out there in the championship. Do we have a shot here to get into this tournament?
I just think with the Queen's Park Rangers are one of those teams that not much has happened recently. Right. They were a Premier League team about 10 years ago, but they're kind of meandering to nothing now. Bit of a boring team to follow, I'm afraid, JVT. I don't think they've got much of a shot to make the playoffs this season. And, you know, are they still in the FA Cup? I think they're still in. Are they playing this weekend?
I'm not sure, actually. I'll double check on that one. I go back to the year they had Charlie Austin, and that was the year that I fell in love.
Yes. They famously, they went up and they stayed up, and they lost against Man City on the final game of the season. The Aguero goal, for those who remember that one. But, yeah, not the easiest fan.
No, yeah, not at all.
You poor soul.
Yeah.
Steve, thank you so much for the time and the breakdown. We appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, guys. You take care. See you around soon.
Good to talk to you.
And as someone who does not bet enough soccer, I like rooting for goals. And he gave us a couple of options this weekend. I'm going to have to tail a couple of these.
That Italian game is going to be fun.
We will be right back. More Follow the Money coming up after this. We are closing out the day with our In Pocket Plays.